Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's on that fan hotline brought to you by Wright Automotive, the best deal in Pittsburgh. Jason, first off, personal news. You enjoyed bringing into the world, you and your wife, a lovely new son. Tell us all about him.
Yeah. Theodore Isaac. We're going to call him Teddy. He's named after my dad who passed in March, and thank you for all of the kind words that you guys had and a lot of people had on Twitter. It meant the world to my wife, Abby, and I. And he has an older brother, Ryder, who turns 5 in December. He's absolutely thrilled to have a little brother, and we couldn't be happier. Abby's healthy, Teddy's healthy, and we're just very, very blessed.
Congratulations, man.
Awesome. They're healthy. When are they busting out? Tomorrow?
Yeah, busting out tomorrow.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff there. Yes, and your father would definitely be proud. Mm-hmm. So that's great stuff.
Yeah.
Let's push it forward. Let's talk some hockey.
Sure.
Is Mike Sullivan shuffling things too much?
I don't think so, guys. I mean, I watched the game the other night, and obviously they blew it up at practice, and I don't blame Sullivan at all. I mean, I think Derek Brassard was perfectly serviceable on the wing, and I think he could give you a split there. And honestly, he played better on the wing than I even thought he would. But the way this team is best constructed, they have to have three scoring lines. And I do think there's a bit of a reticence to pull apart Evgeny Malkin and Phil Kessel. And I understand it, given how productive they've been. But to get that third line productive, I mean, listen, it's just not going to be Riley Sheahan in that spot. Not when you have a Derek Brassard available. So he's shuffling. He's trying to find something that works. I know that's what Sullivan, you know, combinations that give us the best chance to win, whatever. But you need to figure out who goes where. And they haven't figured that out. I think they still have some work to do, but I don't have any problem with the shuffling.
With that said, Jason, where's Daniel Sprong go from here? Could it be the press box?
Yeah. No, as I was given that answer, Chris, that was something that is in my mind, and it stays in my mind. I think a lot of people around the team are thinking about it. Right now, he stays on the fourth line, and they seem hesitant to do anything other than that with him. If I was coaching the team, I wouldn't do it. I don't completely understand it. I don't believe that that's what Jim Rutherford wants. I talked to Jim the day the Schultz injury news was announced, and he even admitted, you know, sort of like backhandedly, but the way this kid can ultimately fit our team, he needs to play in the top nine. And he's nowhere near the top nine right now. And I think Jim's kind of going along with the idea that Sprong had a bad camp and he's got to work his way up. But I just don't understand it. You know, he played really well in Montreal that first period, and then he was screwed to the bench for the next two. You need to put the kid in a position to do what he does best and not score goals. And it's just not happening right now.
Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Our Penguins insider, Jason Mackey from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. All right, let's take a look at then the inner workings of the Penguins administrative staff, or the Penguins staff, I should say. Is there a brick and cement wall that is built there? Or we've known this happens with other teams in town. Could there be a case where Jim Rutherford says to Sullivan, essentially, I am in a way your boss. I'd like to see Sprong get more minutes. Let's try it out. I'm telling you to do that for a game or two.
Yeah, I think that could absolutely happen. And precedent in the NHL, like what Sullivan's doing with Sprong, and you know, it's not strange. You know, coaches have their guys that they play probably too much, and coaches have their guys that they don't play enough. You know, I think that's just the nature of hockey. It's a little bit more subjective than other sports, and it's tougher to quantify. And I do think that they had a conversation in the off season, Jim and Sullivan, about, you know, I want Sprong to be a part of this team. And, you know, Sullivan, I do think, was in a way hesitant. I don't think he has anything personal out against Daniel Sprong. It's just he's looking for a certain level of responsible play that might not necessarily be that with Sprong. So back to our original point, though, yeah, I don't think that would be strange at all for Rutherford to say, look, I want to see this kid. And even so, I mean, you maybe want to see him in a prominent role just to see if there's anything there. You know, and Jim might need to know that to see if, you know, is this kid a future part of this team? Let's give him a stretch of games and see if he can do anything with them. Otherwise, I might have to look and move on and address our needs elsewhere.
And beyond just Sprong, Jason, it feels like Sully's trying to figure out a whole lot of different stuff right now. Back to the beginning of the conversation where it feels like this team just five games in is still in sort of, it feels like preseason mode to an extent where they're still trying to get their legs under them.
It does. It does, and that's exactly what it is. And again, that's not terribly rare for an NHL team. I do think the nature of the thing, you know, players wear out coaches, and coaches probably tinker a little bit too much. But I'm not going to sit here and question Mike Sullivan for shuffling around his lines when they've gotten the minimal production that they have. You know, and they also dealt with the Schultz injury, and naturally you're going to have to figure out what your defense pairs are. And they just haven't had guys step up and sort of solidify those. So, again, I just don't think it's rare, but let's say this continues into December or January, then I think the Penguins have a problem. And, guys, if we zoom out a little bit too, the Penguins just have a unique lineup. If you compare their lineup to other teams, they have a lot of guys who only play one side. They have a lot of guys who only do specific things. You know, and I'm talking about Patrick Hornquist and Phil Kessel. Obviously, you'd rather have them on your team than not, but you can't flip them to the left side. They're not going to be valuable to you in a checking line role. Patrick Hornquist is not going to be on a line where, like, he can drive play. He's got to be there with somebody who puts the puck at the net for him to swat it in and do all of what he does. So, I mean, you just have some sort of special circumstances there that Sullivan needs to navigate.
You said dealt with the Schultz injury. What's the way they continue to, in rolling fashion, deal with the Schultz injury?
Yeah, I mean, they're just going to continue rotating guys in those second and third defense pairings and hope somebody sort of solidifies them. I mean, right now you have four guys who are probably, you know, the way they're playing right now, best suited to third pair roles. But obviously you have to play, you know, somebody in the second pair, and you can't play Brian Dumoulin and Chris Letang 40 minutes a night. So, you know, I think ideally the path of least resistance, let's call it that way, you got Olimata and Jack Johnson step up and take those roles. I know I and you guys and everybody listening probably has some serious doubt whether that's possible, and that's fair. But I'm just saying, based on past precedent, they're the most capable. I think you have to see what happens with Juuso Riikola. I think Chad Ruedel will get a spot, or get a shot. And honestly, if they can't find anything there that works, I think you're going to see Rutherford make a move for a defenseman to address that. But I think internally, they're going to give it some time here and see if those bottom four guys battling for a spot, and I'm not including Ruedel, traditionally he would be their number seven, to see who sort of grasps what role.
Is there anyone on the blue line right now, Jason, that can pick up the offensive role that Schultz played? Number two power play, occasionally number 1 minute on the power play, or is this going to put more pressure on what Chris Letang does offensively?
Yeah, I mean, there really isn't. You know, I'd love to sit here and say they're insulated enough to do it, but I mean, there's a reason Schultz made, what, $6 million, and I don't know what his exact cap hit is, but I mean, he's, you know, perfectly capable of running a top power play. He's going to produce points if given the minutes. You know, on their best day, you know, Jack Johnson and Olimata can be serviceable. I think Juuso Riikola has a little bit of offense to offer, but no, I mean, they just don't have somebody who can replace Justin Schultz's minutes, Justin Schultz's production. It's a really tough loss, and you know, I don't mean to, you know, be doomsday scenario here, but like, what happens if Chris Letang gets hurt? And that's certainly not out of the realm of possibilities here. They literally do not have somebody to run a top power play. So I just think you kind of need to be cognizant of this situation. I get Rutherford not wanting to go out and get somebody right away. That's probably the easiest thing, but it is a very, very big hole to fill.
All right, you can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. It's 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Jason Mackey, our Penguins insider, for a couple more minutes here on the Fan Morning Show. Does it feel like tonight is a new opening night for Matt Murray, like relaunch 2.0 for him?
Yeah, I think it should be, and I think it feels that way. I think Matt yesterday was probably a little bit hacked off. You know, he wants to get in there. He wants to play. He's a proud guy. He wasn't happy with what he did thus far. And I do think that starting Casey DeSmith against Vancouver, for whatever reason, you know, whether Mike Sullivan wanted to give him some time away or whether he was just that enamored with Casey DeSmith or whatever, I don't think Matt Murray was all too happy about it. And I think you're going to see a different goaltender in that. Now, does that mean that Matt Murray is going to go up to Toronto and stone the Maple Leafs? might be kind of tough given how well they're playing right now. But I do think this is a great opportunity for him to kind of hit the reset button. He did get some substantial time away from it. He loves playing there. I know I've talked to him about that in the past, and that's without everything the Maple Leafs did in the offseason and the buzz they're creating. That was his closest team in Thunder Bay, and I think this will be a pretty big night for him.
How do you expect the five guys in front of him to play tonight, though, Jason, given that we know this team would much rather prefer, at least the players would much rather prefer, to get out there and skate and play this a 6-5 game, but their coach is also asking them to button things down defensively?
Yeah, and the funny thing about playing Toronto, too, you can button them down as much as you want, and that might not make a lick of difference when they're playing the way they are. I mean, Toronto is just rolling unbelievably well right now, and one area that they're just killing people on is the power play. I think, what, 9 power play goals so far or something like that. Auston Matthews, I was looking this up the other day, has more than, you know, 18 teams or something like that. I mean, it's, you look up their power play stats, they're just nuts. So, I mean, it's a tremendous task for the Penguins' penalty kill. And, you know, structurally, how they handle themselves defensively, it's another tall task. But honestly, guys, the stuff that's been bugging the Penguins and why they've been so inconsistent early on this season, it's been self-inflicted. You know, they need to do a lot of things better. It doesn't matter who they're playing against. You know, they could be playing against the worst team in the league. If they turn over the puck at the blue line, the other team's capable of scoring. So there's a lot of stuff they need to clean up internally before they even need to worry about the opponent.
All right, last thing for you, this Teddy character, right? This guy. So his brother Ryder, is how much older than him?
He is, well, Ryder will be 5 in December.
Okay, so
basically 5 years.
With this arrival here, is this Ryder guy, is he apprehensive? Is he protective? Is he excited? Is he jealous? What's happening?
Embracing the role?
Yeah, what's going on?
He is absolutely embracing the role. He is loving it, guys. It was so cute yesterday. He's been, you know, because I think you guys know, some other people know, my wife has been having, like, contractions and sort of, like, almost having the baby for, like, 2 weeks now. And so we'd say to him, hey, do you want to go meet Teddy? And he gets all excited. He's, like, rubbing her belly and kissing her belly. He's so psyched. He came into the hospital yesterday, and he was just, like, holding his little brother's finger and holding it. It was adorable. He's been really good. He's embracing the role. I've been so impressed by him.
Yeah, give it time.
Let me enjoy it now, Colin.
Well, congratulations. In all sincerity, congratulations. Yeah. We're excited for you. We're excited for your family that everything has worked out. And we will chat again soon. And enjoy your time, Jason.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
See you, Jason.
All right, the best, Jason Mackey. He is
embracing the role, Ryder.
Two boys,
is.
5 years apart. Yeah, give it time. All right. Wait till one's 10, one's 5. Yeah. Wait till one's 12 and
bloody
one's
noses.
7. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.